Are you in that shredding kind of mood? You're on the Gristle on 2CR 107.3. We've got a huge show for you this evening. Gladys is not so glad. She has been having some COVID problems. She's been having some shredding problems. And it's all about the other white meat, pork barreling, as they say. We're going to take a look at state politics. We'll then switch over to what the hell is going on with this war crimes report and prisoner swaps. And rounding out the half hour with a good old look at international politics. Stick around, you're on the good side. Yeah, that's right. You're on the Gristle on 2SCR 107.3 and 2SCR.com. Big shout out to The Wire. Excellent half hour of current affairs. Great to see it powering on during this time of biblical strife. Joining me, the Punditake, in the studio is Trudette. Great to have you back.
Hiya. Nice to be back.
And we've got in the other studio behind a hermetically sealed glass window, captive for the evening, we've got Starvin Marvin.
Oh, good to be here, Punditaker.
And Demo Crazy.
Good evening.
Now, talking about being captive to circumstance, Gladys Berejiklian just goes from shonky to worse lately with another horrid week for the Premier. It basically kicked off with revelations this week that she took a COVID test and then decided it might be a good idea to potentially expose herself to the rest of the lower house up at Parliament by failing to wait for the results before she started wandering around. Team, there's been all this talk, all this sacrifice in the community about, you know, people, you know, if you have your COVID test, if you think you've got this virus, you've just got to lock yourself up so you don't potentially infect other people. What is it with double standards and the New South Wales government? Starvin Marvin.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it was. It's not far from the Melbourne Cup, and she just felt a little hoarse. She was not, you know, not fully. She didn't go the full COVID, so she thought, well, you know, I don't have to worry too much. And let's face it, the only people she was putting at risk were other politicians.
That's very unfair. Trudette, how do you think this will play with the average punter who's been getting these Big Brother-esque messages, which I agree with, you know, basically, if you think you've got COVID, stay at home, don't get everyone else sick. It's not doing wonders for her reputation, which has been dragged through the Daryl Maguire-esque mud lately, hasn't it?
Yeah, look, it was interesting because her comments were along the lines of, well, it was a precautionary test and I knew I didn't have it, but I just thought I'd have a test anyway. And therefore, it wasn't really, you know, because it was precautionary, I didn't really need to self-isolate. And might I say, I've also had a precautionary test before and I self-isolated for 2 days, which sucked so hard.
So, and, you know, I want to throw to you, Demo Crazy, just on that point. You know, of course, the Premier became famous again during the ICAC proceedings, saying she didn't want to know about that bit when she listened to Daryl Maguire's tape recording. It sounds like, Demo Crazy, that she didn't want to know about that bit when it came to the COVID results. Isn't this more recklessness from the Premier?
Well, the media line that's been discussed is do as I say, not as I do. I mean, this is how you end up with a public health emergency when people go, well, hang on, that person next to me, oh, in this case, the Premier, isn't following the health guidelines. Why should I follow the health guidelines? Which is completely not the message that someone in leadership should be sending. But the other part that I want to talk about is, and as Trudette just mentioned, I've had a precautionary COVID test. I got the results the next day. Timing has kind of gone down, but the Premier got a 2-hour kind of test. So there's also preferential treatment kind of thing there. Like, if everyone thinks they're in the same boat, we've heard all this year, oh, we're all in the same boat, we're all like Victorians, et cetera, et cetera, when they were having the lockdown. No, there's some people who get it much better. And for anybody who's missed out on something or had to look after the kids because they had to have a precautionary COVID test waiting for the results, just the fact that the Premier can get an expedited one is something that I think will rankle a few people.
And well, I'd just like to point out there, too, Demo Crazy, that the UTS Science has come up with a 2-hour test. So maybe that was the test they were using.
Big shout out to you.
That's fantastic, but that's not what the public's being offered.
It is. A Western Australian company is producing it now. The two-hour swab, it's brilliant.
So just focusing back on the Premier's horrid week, of course, because it wasn't just her recklessness when it comes to potentially giving everyone else the virus. Thankfully, she didn't. The other thing that came out this week, of course, Twisia listeners may recall that the Premier, the state opposition found out that the government had allocated, I think it was around 250 million big ones in grants, of which 95% went, surprisingly, to coalition-held seats. Now, when the Premier was asked about this, it was, people went up before the committee in Parliament, and a former staffer, I believe, said that, well, it's just routine to shred the documents which showed how all these choices were made. Turns out somebody leaked this electronic information and actually was able to piece back together exactly what happened. The Premier was confronted about this pork barreling, and what did she say, Demo Crazy? Essentially, it was par for the course.
Yeah, and look, the Deputy Premier has also gone on the record. Like, you got to give, at the very least, you have to say...
Bruz.
Deputy Premier at least has been honest. He said, my nickname's Pork Barrel Aro.
It is.
And he says, and that's what I do. And
it's such a stoogey thing to do.
But what I've got to say is, like, it again erodes so much confidence in the public's feeling about politicians when people go, this is what's happening. Politicians say we're going to do what's best for the state, the country, whatever, whoever they're talking to, basically. Whereas in the end, all they're trying to do is prop up themselves. That's what the message is to the average punter.
Well, look, Demo Crazy, you know, I follow the National Party line on this, and if it's good for pork farmers, it's good for the country.
Look, yeah, and so, you know, yes.
What about barrel makers?
Yeah, absolutely. Anyone in a rural and regional area that's producing things, they should be given a fair go.
Look, you know, again, it just fits this whole story, you know, of a tired government, which day after day there seem to be more stories of behaving badly, if you're going to knock down standards, then at least, have some sort of principle behind it. Because it doesn't seem like they've got principles when it comes to which buildings they want to knock down, does it, Trudette? With the state treasurer coming out with a hit list.
I know.
Perrottet's hit list.
It's interesting because, you know, the hit list started with the White Bay Power Station, which apparently is now off the list because Darcy Byrne and Rob Stokes took him for a walk around, and actually he's fine with that now.
Wow.
But he seems to want to get rid of anything made of concrete. That's the new thing.
Yeah, it's weird. Okay, so, like, why would
you get rid of concrete? It's so beautiful.
But, like, why would a treasurer who looks like an extra from some sort of Hammer horror film even have an opinion on what a good-looking building is? I mean, he went around and picked a number of sites, but, you know, as someone said, he didn't even pick any of the shoddy newer bills that you've seen.
Indeed.
I mean, I can think of a number.
He doesn't need to worry about that. They're all falling down anyway.
What happened to the Harry Seidler incinerator? That's what I want to know.
I'm surprised they didn't choose that. The ICAC building, actually, frankly. What is in the treasurer's head? Is it just...
I think ICAC's in the Wesley Centre, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure he just thinks he's the arbiter of good taste. And people might like to hear his pronouncements upon our cityscape, which is kind of ludicrous because it's sort of, you know, it's like he's pretending that there's only one version of what looks good and that the only people that could possibly like a concrete building is somebody who's an architect and who has this very specific idea of things. But I think a lot of people can appreciate those sorts of buildings.
Yeah, and look, and, you know, I want to throw you, Demo Crazy. Yes, I think that's completely... I mean, you know, is it time for him to get his trendy clear glasses checked?
Well, maybe, but the point I wanted to make is that many people remember the footage of Joe Bjorke-Petersen as Premier of Queensland in a bulldozer going through the Daintree rainforest. So many people would say that at least this is kind of an evolutionary step up, that he wants to knock down the built environment, not just trash national parks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, I think the kind of first order of business is really to knock off this fairly rotten state government before we start getting rid of any buildings. Look, we're going to go to a brief track now. This is Sam Fender. I think it's a newie, Winter Song. And coming up after the break, we'll be talking about war crimes and prisoner swaps. You're on The Crystal on 2SER 107.3.
Winter's shadowy fingers first pursue you down the street, and your boots no longer lie about the cold around your feet? Do you spare a thought for summer whose passage is complete, whose memories lie in ruins and whose ruins lie in heat when winter comes howling in? When the wind is singing strangely, blowing music through your head, and your rain's flooded windows, making it sad to stay in bed. Do you spare he was dead? Oh, pull up your bedclothes, hey, dream of summertime instead when winter comes howling in. The creeping cold has fingers that caress without permission, and mystic crystal snowdrops only aggravate the condition. Do you spare one thought for the traveller?
Yeah, that's right. You're on 2SCR 107.3 and 2SCR.com with me, the Punditaker, Trudette, Democrazy, and Starve Marvin. Now, of course, over the last few weeks, the country has been rocked by the revelations in the Brereton Report, an internal Department of Defence report into alleged war crimes committed by some Australian commandos in Afghanistan. And you know, this has obviously been covered on radio a bit and on this show. You know, I wanted to sort of raise this question about whether this is going to become a culture war issue. I think, you know, we're kind of starting to see in the media two sort of camps. One is this camp, which is, you know, you've got to follow due process and go and investigate. These are very serious allegations, but there
is
seems...
Is that the guerrilla camp, Undertaker?
Oh, they're... Whereas there is this second kind of view, and I'm just curious as to people's views here, because we know how many issues which should be treated formally turn into culture war issues. There's a second issue as to, well, you know, it's fog of war. Look, you know, you shouldn't treat our troops badly by being too harsh on them. Where do we think the kind of public consensus is going to fall on this? Because, you know, I'm not, you know, to be honest, I really wonder how much people care. I hope they do care. Thoughts on this issue, whether it'll be a culture war.
Well, I think that, yeah, it, definitely there will be voices who are saying, hey, diggers, Anzacs, et cetera, et cetera, and that these people serve their country. That's all true. But every movie, every TV show we watch about war, there is always going to be atrocities. There's always going to be moral dilemmas and split-second decisions. But in this case, it seems to be a pattern of behaviour over time. And the thing that they've really spoken about is, the more tours of duty that people did, the more this seemed to happen. And so it will drive reform as to how many times you can be posted over. But it just seems that many people got desensitized, and the violence just took over. But the fact that Defence's leadership and the Defence Minister and the Prime Minister have come out so strongly saying how appalled they were by this, I think makes it less of a culture war issue.
And look, I think just on another foreign policy issue as well, I think what was interesting this week, of course, was to see this prisoner swap. Not unlike wife swap, no. It's a prisoner swap. Effectively now someone can...
I think Trudette knows a lot about this topic.
Trudette? Well... Basically, apparently, Australia has swapped There was a trade.
Kylie
Moore Gilbert, an Australian academic who was locked up on trumped up charges in Iran, was freed, but apparently in return for a couple of alleged terrorist
bombers in Bangkok.
The Bangkok bombers. I was wondering what had happened to them.
Yeah.
They apparently were not very good, though, because apparently they got caught because the bomb went off in their house as opposed to in the Israeli embassy where it was supposed to go off.
Minor detail.
So perhaps
their job was to let off a bomb, and they did it.
Yeah. Well, you know.
were they supporting the Thai royalists in their current troubles in Thailand?
Ooh.
I don't. It's well, from what the I've read, it seems to be more of an anti-Israel bomb. So perhaps more in line with Irani kind of terrorist groups ideology as opposed to Thai royalists.
So they'd just gone to Phuket for a bit of a break.
Yeah.
I think Iranians, the Iranian regime's pretty much against royalty, right? It's 79, anyone?
Well, yeah, although they're a big fan of theocracy. Like, I mean, you know, curious as to what you would all do. Like, there's obviously this sense that, yes, you want to get your people back, and this poor, poor professor. Is she a professor, I think?
Yeah.
It's completely understandable, but from a public policy perspective, is it the right thing to do, or is this something that goes on all the time anyway? And so effectively, it's just a, you know, kind of like a game of chess, really. Someone takes someone's pawn, someone takes someone else's pawns, and then we have the Queen's Gambit.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it was I would not have gone to Iran at that time. In any case, I think it would have been. I think some alarm bells should have been ringing, but I think she was inveigled to go, and it was part of this grand plan that we would get back our people by, capturing this other person who would then be able to be swapped, and that's simply what it was. It was a very cynical exercise.
I might throw to you, Jemaine Crazy.
I want to link this to another issue, and that is that I think absolutely the government has done the right thing. They've been able to send an Australian plane over, maybe taking a few alleged terrorists back to Iran and bringing an Australian academic back. But it links to another issue that there are thousands of Australians who are stranded overseas, and it seems like a plane got sent over and came back with one academic. It could have had a bit higher payload with all these people wanting to make it home. And the health minister said we've exceeded our targets of bringing Australians home. Well, most people with Australian citizenship would be saying, hang on, Australian citizenship means I get to go back to my country. Don't talk to me about targets. Get me home. And the target should be 100%.
To be fair, I think that there might be a slight difference between people sitting in San Francisco airport versus a woman sitting in an Irani jail, but
they sent the plane over.
I think there is a slight difference.
They sent the plane over. They could send more planes over.
Being forced to eat Applebee's day on day might be close to an Irani prison, but not quite.
Yeah, I mean, Trudette, just quick query. Would you feel comfortable, you know, going to somewhere where you might end up as as a form of online currency, basically? Is this something that you would, you know, once COVID dies down, would you travel to these places where you frankly could be kidnapped?
I mean, I have travelled to places that I could be kidnapped, I suppose. Never in times where it seemed kind of more likely than other times. But I always, you know, in the back of your mind when you are a woman, there are some countries where you do kind of think about, well, would I travel there, and particularly would I travel there alone? And there are a lot of countries that I probably wouldn't travel to alone just because of fears for safety and that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Fair enough. Look,
like Alabama or somewhere like that.
Yeah, something like that.
All right. We're going to go to a very brief track. This is For How Long, the Harvey Sutherland remix, and after the break, we'll be talking all things international politics here on The Crystal on 2SCR 107.3.
For how long?
Yeah, that's right. You're on 2SER 107.3 and 2SER.com. And in the last few minutes we have on air, we're going to be turning our gaze internationally. And we've got special guests come in for the foreign affairs section. A man who's into affairs of all kinds, including foreign ones. Warm lettuce.
What an intro. How do you live up to that?
Right, quite a reputation.
I think you try not to live up to that, to be fair.
Well, yeah.
Fair point.
Warm lettuce.
You could say that I've gotten around more than Corman has this week.
Well, if only you had the Australian purse to fund your attempt to get a plum job at the OECD. I want to quickly throw you warm lettuce just for a couple of views on the state of the US cataclysm. Joe Biden's transition team was finally the US government department which is in charge of releasing funds and allowing public servants to speak to Sleepy Joe and co. did so. It looks like Trump is slowly going to give up. Thoughts on where things are at, or do you think Trump's going to pull a rabbit, a.k.a. Stormy Daniels, out of his hat?
Look, I think the election was won. huge win.
Yeah.
Look, you know, I actually don't think he's going away. I think he's running next time. Mm. And good luck to anyone in the party that stands against him.
Mm.
I think he'll give it another red hot go. He'll probably throw Ivanka on the ticket just to double down, you know, why not? And in the meantime, if they don't let him campaign on the TV, I think he'll open his own TV station, Trump TV.
Yeah.
Get ready for it.
Yeah, yeah. I heard Rupert Murdoch had offered him big bucks to be a commentator, but it seems like Fox would be too small for him, don't you think? Demo crazy, like.
Well, I think that the mistake that all of us have made over 5 years now is continuing to talk about Trump. And his tactic from the very start was to take the oxygen out of the room. Basically, no policy ideas really have been discussed. It's all just been the outrage against what he said. And how could someone be saying that? Like, it's not the kind of message that people have been hearing in the past. The Republicans have to say that there's going to be a change out of this blatant disregard for democracy. If they don't stand for democracy in the land of the free, they don't stand for anything. So
yeah, but
they need to separate themselves. The Republican Party need to separate themselves from Trump.
Yeah, but Trudette, you know, surely though, you know, Trump won the second largest number of votes of any presidential candidate in American history. It seems like people are going to have to maybe sort of genuflect to Trump, maybe even to statues of Trump.
Oh, indeed. There was a statue of Trump erected this week in Central Park in New York City.
Wow.
It was quite amusing.
Yeah,
it was a naked statue, quite realistic. But the most enjoyable thing of that the entire affair was the New York City Parks Department's tweet response, which I will read to you because it's quite hilarious. New York City Parks stands firmly against any unpermitted erection in city parks, no matter how small.
The angry inch is back.
Apparently.
Now, of course, you know, it's been another roller coaster week internationally, with Australia obviously today being hit by wine tariffs.
Mm.
Does this mean we're just going to have to do the thing for Team Australia and just drink more wine?
I think that's right. I think Daniel Andrews is going to have to change his narrative. Get on the wines.
Get
it's
on
no
the wine.
Get on the beers.
Yeah,
get off the donuts and onto the wines.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, do we think that? I mean, how much of this do we want to put up with from China, I suppose, is the question.
Well, I think we should just cut off the baby milk formula. I mean, I feel like
just,
that's probably going to get the response that you want.
Or maybe we should put wine in the baby milk formula.
Well,
I'm actually interested to see how much.
And I say that with a baby out the front.
I'll be interested to see how much difference it makes, whether the Chinese people actually respond to the price difference, the people who are buying Australian wine, whether they say, actually, we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
That will be interesting to see because that's showing that the people are standing up to the government in a way, and also that they respect the fact that Australian wine's fantastic, high quality, safe to drink, etc. like that. And That is part of the story that we'll need to understand.
Are you saying that because it'll be priced more, they'll just assume it's a more boutique good? It'll become more attractive.
That's
it'll
what's
be
been
like
happening.
The Louis Vuitton of wine.
Yeah,
Giffen good. I think it's called in economics from memory. Yeah. I want to throw to you, Trudette, as well. I mean, you work in a more services based sector, but are you concerned? Are you concerned about this rising trade tension with China being an architect?
I mean, it is actually it's a pretty good question because in my sector we. Not only do we have a lot of clients who are from China, but a lot of Australian building is, and it has been over the last few years, shifting to having a lot large parts of the building made in China, like whole facade systems, windows. I had sinks recently made out of stone carved in China, and they all get shipped out. And that's just the way we build here now. We don't make much here anymore. It's just so much more, it's just so much cheaper to have it made there. The quality is pretty good. Not always, but it can be if you're good at the quality control stuff. So it'll be interesting because if this does continue, that may start to change. And I think it started to change with COVID anyway because it was very difficult to get products here. And we had to start using Australian fabricators, which is immensely more expensive, but for a reason. So, if this continues on and on, the cost of building in Australia will change. And
yeah, yeah.
So then the question becomes, does that mean the developers take a hit or does that mean that we build less or do we just build crappier?
I think
that actually, might be hard.
I think we'll open new markets in other equally cheap areas. So you saw Apple today, for example, moved their production of their iPads and MacBooks from China to Vietnam because they saw China as too risky.
Mm.
And it might take a while to get set up, but it's not like China is the only affordable destination in Asia if you're looking from a profit perspective.
Yeah.
So I think it'll just move. I think we'll see a diversification. Might cost a bit more in the short term, but in the end, I think we'll be all right.
Well, and China's grand strategy of pissing off everyone as well will probably try to speed that along. Look, that's all we have time for here on The Gristle. Thanks very much to Demo Crazy, to Trudette, and Ring In Warm Lettuce, and of course, Darvin Marvin, who's up there cleaning the antenna at the moment. Stick around for On The Park and all the great programming here on 2SCR. And taking us out will be, what shall we play?
Valet Maradona.
Val Maradona. I tell you what, sport wasn't the same when everyone stopped taking cocaine, was it? All right, maybe Billie Eilish.
Have they stopped? I think they haven't.
Stick around, you're on 2SCR. I'm not your friend.